Jones in a shotgun set. Barkley to his left. Jones takes the snap. He's back to throw. Slides left. Now fires one deep down the middle. Barkley's wide open for the touchdown. 33 yards.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yeah, good run there, Saquon. So much pro football to talk about in between week 16 and an all-important week 17 for many pro football teams. But of course, we start with Saquon because, as I'm sure you already know, he figured prominently in to the Cool Cats, spelled with two K's. Second fantasy football league championship in 3 years. Congratulations, Saquon and Deshaun Watson and Michael Thomas and Nuke Hopkins and all the rest of the fellas who contributed. No one outside our locker room believed in us. And yet here we are atop the football mountain.
Here we are talking about it.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Thanks.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, sport. This is what sports are all about.
It's
the show.
Exciting specifically for you.
It's really, I hope, I don't want to make too big a deal about it, but if that group of men can come together and play for one purpose and achieve what they did against the odds. I mean, we were sitting at 5-8 at one point, and
you say
here we are.
Like there's multiple people. You know what's interesting about fantasy football is when you, if you win the fantasy football championship.
Yes.
If you win a Super Bowl championship,
I have,
the
twice
whole,
in 3 years.
The
like
whole
I said.
Team, families.
Celebrates together.
Everyone celebrates. I mean, like, people in London are celebrating your shit. But when it's a fantasy football, it's you're by yourself.
No one else cares.
You're like,
even
looking for a high five.
Even the person who you played against this morning has woken up and they're like, I'm going to put that.
I don't even
lost
care.
3 months behind me. That was a waste of my time.
That sad. Adrian it's Peterson kind of cares. He scored a big touchdown for the Cool Cats in against the Giants. That was a great one. You know, what I have dealt with.
Chances are Adrian Peterson, genuinely, that the only reason he cares about that touchdown is it might be one of the last.
A lot of jerks out there. A lot of jerks out there. That's what I found out in my rise. There are a lot of doubters, much like Tom Brady.
It's a very lonely feeling.
Everybody thinks we suck and we're not going to do anything. You know what, Tom? I feel you. I've been there. I was just there. But like you finished your most recent pro football season at the top, so too has Dameshek. Now, let's talk about, though, that is now over with.
Okay.
All right.
But
that,
if you want that, me to go, if you
no,
want me
no,
to
no,
power
no,
over
just,
it a little bit more.
What I was
going
to say is, for people who are listening to the show, if you could just give an idea of how long you're going to go with this, then they can just skip for whatever it is, 3 minutes, and they can just go to the bit where we start talking about actual football.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I thought it was this is what I'm talking about with the haters, you know?
Yeah.
You don't like my success.
You shouldn't have invited two haters into the show.
Can't you be happy for me?
Yeah, I'll high five you right now and then we can
I don't
stop
want your
talking.
High
it's
five.
It's not even a real high five. It's like even that was like, that's one of your good friends.
Well, the good
can't
news
even be
is,
happy for you.
The good, I know, that's why it gets me down.
Weird.
Hey,
yeah.
Anyway. So here we are in advance of Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus and beyond. Behind the glass, Eddie Spaghetti is out. He's back in Staten Island eating pizza and calzones and
already.
Pizza and spaghetti and meatballs and
it's
some pizza.
Break.
But
he was getting skinny. He needed to fatten up.
Replenish.
Go back to the house.
Replenish, yeah. Behind the glass there, she's a world champion because she roots for the New England Patriots. She's world famous herself. It's Ricky Hollywood. What's happening,
hello,
Rick?
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
What a pleasure to see you.
Yeah. Hey.
That was rude. I introduced you, but ladies first. So now I take it back.
I would have liked a nice applause track for her, though.
Right.
She could have just pushed the button.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't let anybody know. A lot of people out there think it's a live
that's
studio
what I, that's
audience.
What I meant. That's right. I'm at the applause sign.
Seated to my immediate left, he's returning back to his fandom in full embrace because the next big event for him, free agency, then the draft, and then who knows what 2020 is going to look like.
Season.
He is the Dolphins resident fan all the way from the UK. It's Handsome Hank. How are you, Handsome?
I'm good, thank you, David. Yeah.
Mazel tov on another win, I think.
I guess. I mean, the best thing that could have happened in that game could have been a tie. It felt like the perfect tied game. I feel good about the coaching seems exciting.
Yeah.
And there's
they do
probably a
job.
Couple good pieces in there. but I am slightly worried that they're pushing themselves further and further
away. Were you
away
concerned from... when they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick? Did you know the level of Ryan Fitzpatrick, the level he was capable of?
Yeah,
you know
for that? Sure.
Like, he's going to mess around and win four or five games.
Yeah, but I was, and then they came up with the great plan of decimating all the skill positions and the offensive line, so thinking that he couldn't do it. And I mean, he's probably genuinely had maybe the best season of his career.
It really is.
If you look at it.
He's the only quarterback to ever throw four touchdowns for five different teams.
Right.
I don't want to talk about the Dolphins with so many other matters, and we talked about them a little bit last week. However, now that it comes up, I do want to ask, let's introduce the other guy first,
okay,
and we'll get two expert opinions instead of one. He is the first overall draft pick from 2003. He is Derek Carr's older brother. Derek Carr, in the news for good things and for some mysterious reasons. I'm talking, of course, about number eight. It's David Carr. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Happy holidays.
Thank you, as well. Back to you guys as well.
Your hair looks all right.
Let me tell you something.
It's not the best your hair's ever.
Well, you know what? It was a long weekend. I was everywhere, you know?
Right.
Just kind of had a beanie on earlier. You know, it's cold outside in Los Angeles, in Bakersfield, and then I came here. So
I know, but you're real tight on the sides and then very long on the top.
Well, I think that's kind of
back.
The thing now.
You know? I guess so, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of like thought for a while, I was like, do I go with like just a 40-year-old dad haircut, or do I kind of try to keep it fresh? And I have too many kids. Like, it's almost like the college coaches that wear the Jordans now. Like, you see Lincoln Riley wearing Jordans. Like, that's just for recruiting.
Right.
That's the only reason I have the hair. I got a little street cred with the high school kids.
You're younger than I am, not the best person to ask. Rick, you're hipping now. Maybe you have some insight on this. When do I, because I've pondered this, my old man, who's now 82, he like, you know, he's in the in-between. Like, he'll get stuff that he thinks is, I'm not saying, you know, he's not wearing Vans or anything, but, you know, he'll like go to the Gap and stuff. And I've asked him. I'm not saying this happened now, but I'm like, at some point, don't you just like, I didn't say, don't buzz me. That's not the point. I'm not saying he should be running around in Puma gear or anything. I'm just saying.
There's a fine balance.
When do you just completely give up and say, all right, I've reached this station in life where the clothes that I have are the only clothes I'm ever going to have the rest of the way. I don't need to update my wardrobe. Mine is tearing on the bum or something like that. I'm just riding it out now. That's what I've decided about music. I feel like I'm halfway through life. I don't need to find any new music. I have more than enough to listen to the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You see?
There is a point where I think clothing-wise, you have the things that you like to wear, and then you just get multiple sets of those, and then you just kind of, I don't know when that is, though. When is that? My dad kind of is doing that now.
Yeah.
He's kind of doing that.
I respect it.
I do. It's like, that's what he wears. He wears the pullover.
If you're chasing it, you lack self-respect. I'm vain, and I don't want to be this vain when I'm 67. Am I going to be like, I want to, the V-necks are what the kids are wearing. I need me some of those. Like, I don't, whatever it is. I don't know what the fashion is.
What happens if they invent, remember in like, I guess it was probably about 1999, they invented an entirely new clothing output, which was called, I don't know if it was called the same in the U.S., called Global Hypercolor, where you could wear like a T-shirt and it would change color dependent on whether there was
heat
on your body.
I don't know
like
that brand.
You could put a handprint.
Yes,
like,
I do
and
remember
it there,
that.
And then it would change.
That was a terrible idea.
It was a terrible
and
idea.
And everyone suddenly was like, "Woo! This is cool. This is new technology within clothing." Yeah. But actually, all it showed you is that you're sweating a lot.
I was just going to say,
in
Dave, your armpits are fuchsia.
That would
change.
Be what happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
What if they invent a better version of clothing technology?
Where it's just maybe I've even seen like in some of the sci-fi movies where it's just one.
Yeah, one whole. Like, I'm looking.
It changes based on the room that you enter.
Yes.
Like, now I have a suit on.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I'm in swimwear.
Ooh. Yeah. Like, I would like that.
I've seen
that. That's something I could go for.
That'd be cool.
So if that's something I'm willing to sacrifice my you know, allegiance to my existing wardrobe for. But other than that, I don't feel like I need to get more
parts. Well, speaking of wardrobe changes, a lot of Steelers fans were taking off the number 6 jersey and replacing it with a number 2 and then quickly
I don't think anyone bought a 6 or a 2.
No.
I bet they did.
Really?
I don't know about a 2, but I can tell you
6 for sure.
100% that there were a lot of people. And let's start there with our pro football talk very quickly. We don't need to spend a lot of time on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As I told all Steelers fans, over the last, and Handsome has, and his friend Matt Money Smith have pushed back on me as though this isn't my, hasn't been my position all along since week two, halftime of week two. Either one of those guys, neither of those guys is ever going to be the reason that the Steelers win a game or certainly make the playoffs. It's all based around that defense. But I do, I said to David Carr earlier today, it's no wonder that pro football players are so cynical about the fans, because 2-3 weeks ago, Steelers fans were like, dude, they were coming up to me in the Pittsburgh airport and otherwise. Dude, I think Doc, you know, Doc could be the long-term answer there. If Roethlisberger can't go next year, Doc, you could do worse. I'm like, Duck Hodges is never a long-term answer right. for any pro He's football not. Team. But before the game had even ended on Sunday, it's like, dude, Duck's no good no more. We got to start Paxton Lynch in week 17. It's like, Paxton Lynch, what are you talking about? I think that they probably will lose to the Ravens, but it is at least intriguing that the report is that no Lamar Jackson, no Earl Thomas, some RG3, maybe some Trace McSorley. And then when that's the situation, I know that they'll have a devil-may-care attitude at home. The fans will be feeling good, but the Steelers will have a puncher's chance in that one.
They will.
And the Texans are giving themselves more than that, because they say at the time of this recording, we're going with Deshaun Watson against the Titans. And I think one of the worst cliches, one of the least valid cliches is, you know, because let's say the Texans beat the Titans in week 17. People always say, you know, what's hard to do is beat a team beat them three times in one season, which is kind of what it would shape up to be if things break right or wrong or however. But what's harder to do is to lose two and then be like, oh, yeah, we got them this time around. This time we figured
That's
it out.
They
now.
Never
now
talk
we got
about.
Them.
I agree. They never talk about that. It's like when the team loses. I remember when the Jacksonville Jaguars and Tennessee Titans were like that. And they could, the Titans or the Jaguars couldn't figure it out. And the Titans were like, we're just going to beat them.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, it is harder to beat the team that you've lost to twice. That's what I would say, but they never talk about
it. In a physical game, too. It's
like beat us up twice.
Maybe our guy will make more jump shots this game, and that'll be the difference. Like, well, they've beaten you
scheme-wise
twice.
Yeah.
Once, maybe a fluke.
Yeah.
Twice, I don't know about.
I agree. It'd be harder the other way.
Either way, so I think that the Texans, they have an outside shot of getting the third seed, too, and they'd be in much better shape getting the Titans or certainly Pittsburgh than the Bills. I think that's a tough spot if they have to play the Buffalo Bills, especially with Bill O'Brien's playoff record. But okay, the other thing that is now legitimately in play, based on those two factors, those other two games I just mentioned, I think the Texans at home certainly can win. I think the Steelers have a shot, at least, as they do against any other mediocre team because of their defense. But if those things don't happen, and then the Colts beat the Jaguars.
Here we go. This is what I came here for.
All of a sudden, Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders can make it into the postseason.
Christmas miracle.
What do you? I mean, not really. But which of those concerns you the most at this point about the likelihood of any of those things happening?
At this point, absolutely none of those concern me, because five of them have already happened. 10 things needed to happen. Five have already happened.
Right.
It's already in the works. It's already happened. Like, everyone is already feeling the heat and the pressure, and the Raiders are just going to go out, play loose against the Broncos, win, and then everything else is going to fall into place. And then that's going to be fun, because then you got a playoff game and no one's going to give you a chance in the entire world to win it. And they're going to find a way, and then things are going to be.
Wait a
up.
Second. And then this is not just a Christmas miracle. This is turning into a New Year miracle.
And then
as well.
We're in Miami, Dave. You fast forward a month from now. And little brother's sitting right there next to you. And we're doing your show. It's going to be amazing.
Well,
why not? Why not?
Well, I mean.
I mean, yeah,
I can lay out some reasons why not.
Okay, obviously.
But let's talk about getting into the playoffs. Then we can deal with taking care of the Chiefs and the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't want to talk
about
that.
The Ravens.
See, now you're making it too real, and now it's depressing.
Let's start with Sunday, week 16, in Carson, California. Were you in attendance?
Momentarily. And then
what does that even mean?
Well, I mean, I couldn't stay, and then I had to go, and so we had to do Christmas stuff. Like, that's important, our family and our family time. So I was in L.A. for a little bit. I didn't even really go to the entire game. But I will say.
Can you imagine, Handsome, having a sibling? I guess it gets watered down a little bit if you also were in the NFL.
Yourself,
but
right.
still, if you had a sibling starting in the NFL and it was local, you'd be like, I'll pass through for a quarter.
Sure. I'll come by.
I'll check you out. Yeah. I mean, I got other stuff.
You know, I have five kids. Right? I have other responsibilities.
I got to get over to Target, you know?
I had just been in Las Vegas. I mean, there was a lot of things going on. So I had to check in on Derek's house, and I had to check in John's house and make sure everything was fine Saturday. I was out there for the Las Vegas Bowl, and then I went over and popped into the neighborhood, said, you know, made sure everything was good, talked to the...
So Derek and Gruden both already have houses in Vegas.
They do. Same street.
What do you... Okay, see, I thought you had mentioned this already.
I did.
But what about on Sunday morning, the reports, the rumors out there that John Gruden, despite the nice relationship, you've described it to us that they love to go on double dates and all the two fellas talking about football to the chagrin of their respective wives and so on. The report was, I believe from CBS Sports, that John Gruden has quietly made a decision that he knows what Derek's ceiling is and he feels incented to go and get a young QB.
Does John Gruden do anything quietly? That's my question.
Fair. Okay.
Having
good.
Known the man
it can't
for
be
a long
that
time.
Quiet if Dave knows about it.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't do much quiet. I think that's just kind of crazy, personally. Just based on, I guess, just the conversations that I have with both of them. And when I see them pretty consistently. I've seen both of them probably every other week for the last 6 months, and they seem great. John
but also,
loves him.
Isn't it John Gruden's job to at least be consider what is available out there, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency. I mean, that's his job. So if the rumor was that he's not looking around, that would almost to me be more surprising.
It would be weird. I would hope that he would be looking to improve his football team. I can say that the one thing, speaking of the draft, if I've heard anything about the draft, it's been that, well, it's not even a secret. How many wide receivers has John traded for just during the season? He's looking for a number one wide receiver. Ever since Antonio Brown was no longer an Oakland Raider and now Las Vegas Raider, I guess, he's been looking for that guy. They traded for Zay Jones. They traded for the kid out of Green Bay. They've been trying to find a guy to plug in there.
Didn't they trade away a number one receiver as well?
Well, they did, but is he a number one receiver? I mean, he wasn't even in the game on fourth down for the Dallas Cowboys the other night. So when you look at it, I think that they take those picks, and John's going to – I think John and Mike are going to have a very interesting conversation about what they do with those first-round picks.
Well, it you know, first of all, I think with the 2019 Raiders, you mentioned the Antonio Brown thing, and that was not a small issue when they got him and the big marketing thing. Like, oh, go over to Derek's house and pretend that you guys are excited to meet each other and all that.
It's kind of weird, right? That was kind of weird.
Well, we talked about it.
It was fun.
I told you at the time it was weird. It was a super.
I didn't know Antonio really well.
You ready?
At that point.
I'm ready. Yeah, you ready?
You knew him
you
better
ready?
Than I did.
I'm ready.
And then I learned
you
about.
You ready? Yeah, I'm also ready. Yeah, like,
yeah, we're all ready.
Go out. Yeah, everybody's ready.
Everyone's
Can we go
ready.
Home. Enough. But they lose him just before the season.
Yeah.
So given that, and
they shouldn't be where they are. We're talking about the playoffs.
That's
they
the point.
Be there. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm a Raider fan. Obviously, my brother plays for him, but they should be 3 and whatever they should be at this point.
I think we tend to, in our cynical society, to embrace the negative stories and the
course.
Disappointing Cowboys and the disappointing
not what
blanks,
Doug Peterson did,
the Chargers and the Rams and otherwise. How about the fact that that's now etched into in pen, not in pencil any longer? Damashek told you, Rams not going to the playoffs. Niners winning the division, one victory away against a Dwayne Brownless, Jadeveon Clowneyless. Yeah. Who knows who else is going to be out for those Seahawks? That's going to come true. But I mean, the Raiders have exceeded any expectations. If you assume, like, yeah, they're going to pull Antonio Brown out of that mix.
Well, like what John told me in training camp, and we've talked about this, I think. I don't know about here, but every play is going to go to Antonio Brown. He's the first read, and he's the first guy we're trying to get the football to. That was told to me by John Gruden as he was waiting for him to come back from his helmet/foot thing. And then mid-training camp, he's not there anymore. Now what do you do? And he just told me every play is designed for him. Now you have to find 2 or 3 tight ends to put together. You end up, Darren Waller ends up being a guy, so you sign him halfway through the year because you love pass catchers. So you just sign him to a long-term deal. The guy had all the problems in the world before this, but he gives you 4 or 5 good games and you long-term deal him. So look at what John is thinking. Like, he wants guys that can catch the football. So you kind of piece some things together. You end up playing the Chiefs for the division championship, basically. You lose that game and you lose a couple of after that, but then Hunter Renfrow comes back and now you got a little life and you convert some third downs and you beat the Chargers, who's a pretty good pass defense, but you go out and have 4 incompletions on the day and you win the football game kind of going away. They tried to screw it up at the end. But, I mean, it's just they need a little bit more on offense from a skill position mm-hmm. standpoint on the outside. Defense is young. There's so many young guys out mm-hmm. there. They're just flying around. They don't even know. They're just making plays. They're going to be all right. Just not quite yet.
Yeah.
Not quite yet.
Well, and then they have their safety coming back.
Yeah, he'll come back. Play, yep. half a season? Or half of a...
Jonathan half. Abram. Yeah, we talked about that, but how good he looked in the limited... experience that we had before he knocked himself out in week one. Handsome, you want to make, you know, we talk about this in the off season every year that you can talk yourself into any team being halfway decent. You want to really make yourself crazy? Consider the AFC West in 2020. Sure. Who's last place in the AFC West already? You know, it's Mahomes. You have the way these young Raiders are shaping up here, tracking in the right direction.
Yep.
The Broncos would appear to have found their guy, plus Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant and the two young running backs. So they're going to fix up
Speaking
that
of receiver,
line.
You add another receiver to Denver. And they're,
exactly.
I mean, that's a scary team.
Yeah,
if you believe in Drew, the one thing thing I worry about with a team like that is you see a rookie quarterback play the last three games of a season and they look sensational, and then next year people are like, okay, we know what Drew Lock does.
That's
now,
a very real thing,
and things come back to earth.
But hopefully he gets better, you know, because he was kind of just thrust in there halfway through the season. Yeah. So hopefully he gets a full year to kind of get ready.
And then that when the Chargers have Cam Newton, as you've predicted.
Really?
What a division.
Did you say that? You didn't tell me that.
What's that?
Cam Newton.
The Chargers have Cam Newton.
I think one thing I'm positive
very
of
real.
Is that the Chargers, if you happen to hear the post-game sound from the Chargers players after the game ended.
Or just from Phillip Rivers.
I mean, Phil was, he's like, well, it's sad for those of us who've been around. We remember how it used to be and all that kind of stuff. But Joey Bosa was pretty negative about it. I forget. Melvin Gordon was negative about it. Yeah. I'm not going to miss this place at all. The Chargers, as an organization, Rams too, to a slightly lesser degree, but the Chargers
they want to get in their new home.
Right, but they also want, but they want to make a splash. Right. It is not going to be sufficient to just be like, now you got to like us because we got a fancy new house.
And I think probably going into the season, you could have seen them say, you know, Phillip Rivers has been the face of this franchise for whatever it is, 12, 15 years. And therefore, he's the guy that should lead us into the new place. After what's happened over the last 6 years, you can't sell Phillip Rivers going in as the
quarterback. I don't even know that Phillip wants to be there.
No, I don't think he
says
does.
Well, he says he wants to play, though, in 2020.
But he didn't say play in L.A. He just
Right.
Play.
And then earlier in the season when we talked about this, Dave made the point, which I don't think was unique to you, that the Tennessee Titans is where he'd like to be. They've made their decision, and it's not Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, but I also do think, let's not get crazy. I know, but listen. Have I ever mentioned I root for the Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers?
Heard that.
Yeah, I do. So I would like it to break right for that team in week 17. And one little thing I'll say about it is, let's not get crazy about who the Tennessee Titans are, or for that matter, who Ryan Tannehill is.
Sure.
Let's not get nuts,
but,
everybody.
I mean, but no one right now.
Oh, well, the Titans are going to beat the Texans. If they play A.J. McCarron for the Texans, oh, the Titans will smoke them. They will? Like, what evidence is there that the Titans are such world beaters that they can go and beat any backup? Well, if you give them a backup, they're going to house that team. They're the Tennessee Titans, for goodness sakes.
And they don't have Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what this has all been. Yeah. All been
Raiders, the takeaway is the Raiders have a real chance.
They really do.
I think they do.
I'm trying not to get too excited about it, even though I went on a rant about them going to the Super Bowl. I'm trying not to get too excited about it. This is a lot of things got to break the right way, but it'll be fun.
Would you, what percentage of David Carr's ego would be negatively impacted by Derek getting to the Super Bowl?
Are you going to be like Peyton in the back of the box? You know that thing where Peyton's
where they said, hey, Derek, he was just studying the clock and making sure. No, he didn't want his little brother to have a Super Bowl trophy. I don't think that there would be any ego there.
I love Mama Carr. You know, Mama Carr's my favorite of all the cars, with the possible exception of Darren.
Yeah.
Rank
or
the cars
David.
Quickly. Rank the cars.
I think David and Darren are close to tied. I think I give the edge ultimately to David because he's been on the show more. Right. Derek, bottom. For me, because Derek hasn't called in.
Him. Yeah, I can't really.
If he gets to the playoffs and he doesn't call in, then shame the
when
devil.
I saw him
and then that's it.
That's fine. And I can't defend
him. Then he's cut off.
I can defend family, but if you don't come in or call.
When I saw him in London, though, he claimed that he knew the show, knew exactly what I was talking
about. He listens.
About.
Okay, well, that's a different matter. I don't want the passive.
Well, so if he listens to this, he's not going to be coming on your show.
Yeah, come in, call in, and talk to us about what's going down in the East Bay. But what if Mama Carr is like, you know, we made it to the AFC title game in Charm City. The whole Carr family flies out there and in the locker room. I can't believe it. You did it. You did it, Derek. You got to the Super Bowl. This is the proudest moment in Carr family history. Would you be like?
And then you're just like,
what?
Yeah. You know what? You know why I wouldn't be upset about it? Because Mama Carr would be the first one to say, you know what, honey? You could have done this.
You could have done that. Yeah. Exactly. Right situation.
Right in the locker room. Right. Mid Derek's speech. Tannen in the trophy. She wouldn't even be looking at him. You could have done this too, if given the right opportunity. I know, Mom. I know. Thank you. I'll kill myself now. But
let's talk about a couple more things.
I need to ask him a question.
Go
as
ahead,
well.
Please.
Because Dave and I had a conversation earlier, which we were talking about Dave Steelers. And just about,
by the way, Tom Brady goes to the Chargers. Cam Newton's fun to think about because he's a splashy name.
You know what?
It's Tom Brady to the Chargers. I agree.
They're loaded.
Willie McGinnis sat where Handsome's sitting a couple of weeks ago, and he disabused me of this of my little conspiracy theory. He said Gazelle does not like
Gazelle does not like LA. That's why. She could learn to like it.
I also think it's
short term.
I was like, that's a good point.
It's not like he's going to be there
that's
forever.
The
you don't have to come. You can stay back there.
Right. She doesn't like L.A. And I was like, oh, well, that's a deal breaker. That makes sense, Willie. But then if you think it through, what are we talking about? Right. 4 months of
And she
his
probably,
life,
whether or not she likes L.A., she probably does have to spend a certain amount of time here.
I was going to say, she's probably here for her
the
work,
industry.
For the line of work.
I stand by that. Ricky Hollywood, who would you be rooting for in a playoff game in January of 2021? Tom Brady's Chargers or Andy Dalton's Patriots?
Ugh.
Who would you root for in that game?
Okay, it might be time for me to go.
That's the way it's going to go.
Patriots?
No way.
It's going to be somebody like that. Who do you think is going to take over?
Stidham.
They're going to go with Stidham?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I think so.
Okay. I think they'll sign
the fact that you put Andy Dalton in New England.
They'll put some vet in there.
Yeah, you're right.
How about Joe Flacco's Patriots?
No, never.
No, that's not going to
happen.
Never. That wouldn't happen.
Andy Dalton's more realistic. I agree with that, but it's probably Stidham.
But doesn't it? We don't need to have this conversation for the millionth time. But doesn't it, Rick and David Carr? Doesn't that, on some level, diminish Tom Brady's importance versus Bill Belichick's? If the year after Brady moves on, if Bill Belichick takes a league average quarterback and makes him into a Pro Bowler and guy who gets his team gets his team deep in the postseason.
I'll be very real, just based on what we've seen from Tom this year. If you have Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, why wouldn't they win?
Well, he might take Josh McDaniels with him.
Maybe. But if they don't,
yep.
You could plug in Andy Dalton and be in the same position.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's interesting.
I think so.
On the flip side, though,
yes, please ask your question.
Go, Erica.
I'm just saying, on the flip side, look at all the, you know, quote unquote, not weapons that aren't around them. Look, if you didn't have Tom Brady, maybe the Patriots wouldn't be in the situation that they are right now.
How do you feel about Tom Brady this year, his play overall?
I mean, my quarterback.
Okay, that's fine. I understand.
You know what I mean?
That's a good answer. I like that.
That is the right answer.
It is the right answer.
And I don't like all the excuses. Is he the GOAT or is he not?
Of course he is.
Hey, who's he throwing the ball to? The guy who was the Super Bowl MVP 11 months ago? That's one who he has to throw the ball to. How about who else does he have, though? A first-round draft pick in N'Keal Henry. That's who else he has. Harry.
Muhammad
that's another
Sanu's
guy.
Not
here.
A bad receiver.
Since the combined win with Sanu, we've been talking about how good Sanu's supposed to be. The cupboard is not bare. Stop acting like everybody acting like.
Why are you so mad?
Because I don't like everybody always has to make excuses for some guys, and some other guys get is ridicule and accusation.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Ask your question.
Okay, so Dave and I were talking earlier about backup quarterbacks.
Okay.
If there was definitely a time where you would say we've got our starting quarterback and then we kind of want our backup quarterback to be the same guy but probably not quite as good.
Yes.
Just talking about Dave Steelers yesterday in a game against the Jets, which you would they've got one of the top five defenses in the NFL. You would definitely think they could win that game. They go in with a guy who doesn't perform well in Duck Hodges. They then put Mason Rudolph in, then Duck Hodges has to come back in. Do you think to some level or some degree you need to have an athletic, completely different style of quarterback? If you need someone in a pinch, is that what's better?
Well, so that's the the age-old question. I think we've had this conversation before as quarterbacks. There was a trend, even like towards when I was probably halfway through my career, they just stopped paying backup quarterbacks at all. Like there used to be, they would want that veteran guy to be in the room, and like they would pay him a little bit of money because if the starter got hurt, then that guy could come and win a couple games for you. And then it went the other direction where it was like, we're not going to pay the backups anything. We're going to pay the starters a lot, but we're not even going to mess with the rest of the quarterback room, because if we lose the starting quarterback, we're going to lose the season anyway. We don't even care, right? So that definitely is a real thing, and that still occurs. But then to your athletic quarterback standpoint or point, I've talked to GMs about that and to head coaches about that, and their concern is that you would have to alter the system so much because of that athletic quarterback, much like the stuff that you see from Lamar, that it would be too much work to change over and change the offense. So they try to get a guy that is cheap, that matches the system that you have. But I agree, the athletic quarterback would be...
As a third string guy where you know, like, I don't really want to have to use this guy, but if it comes to it, then...
Well, I think that what you should do is you should spend a little time in the offseason developing a small repertoire of plays that you can run with an athletic guy like that, like a Muhammad Sue or a guy that can, Cordell Patterson, that can play that wildcat. And then if the backup quarterback does have to play, now you just ramp up that 10% of plays that you have to like 20 or 30%, and then they really have a hard time game planning for you. So if you have a defensive loaded team, then you can kind of implement that 30 or 40% of that stuff that's kind of unconventional, that it would catch the other team off guard and maybe give you a score or two, and then you can have your back quarterback kind of play the rest of the game. And I would kind of lean towards that.
Well, you wonder if the Steelers, you know, if they had the foresight of what was going to happen.
Remember the Steelers about 10 years ago, they had a lot of that stuff. They had, like, they put Antoine Randall in there, and he could do his
thing.
Well,
that was off of Cordell Stewart.
Yeah. Like,
Cordell
Stewart have a
really
lot of that
is,
stuff,
is so. What starts all that.
You really did.
Starts that trend.
Yeah, the slash stuff.
You wonder if they would have had Josh Dobbs.
Could they do some of that, yeah.
Would they be in a better position they are right now? But let's talk about the heavyweights here very quickly, and then we'll call it a day, and everybody can go off and start celebrating Christmas time, much like David Carr did during Derek Carr's football game.
Where did you have to get to?
I couldn't wait till the game was done.
In reality, I didn't even go to the stadium for that. I was just there to be with Derek as I was going through we were Friday night. I think I was here Saturday night. I was in Las Vegas doing the Las Vegas Bowl. No, Friday night I was in Las Vegas. Saturday morning came back here, and then I was on my way back home to catch the game the next day. So I didn't even...
So what, you met him at the hotel before the game?
Yeah. So
I wish I could be there, Derek. Old Navy's doing a deal on half zip-up sweaters. I'll get you
one,
though.
I've got five kids.
HD. It's like you can sit at home and see literally every camera angle.
Well,
it's
you can. I mean, that's not really the point. I don't think Kamish Goodell's
going to like you issuing that message.
And he'd like that.
Just stay at home, everybody.
It's HD. Contract is pretty good.
I think Derek can hear me from here.
Is there... I mean, people swoon for the Peyton Brady showdowns.
Yeah.
By the time it was in Denver, I was I was miffed because of the team I wanted to be in that spot. But still, I felt like Peyton's not especially great anymore. It's kind of like I understand the last stand of the lie and Tom Brady and all that will be compelling stuff.
Sure.
In January, if in fact this is his last go around with the Patriots. But that's not a story that I need to see as much as I would love to see Lamar Jackson's Ravens and the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs in the title game. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Well, I shouldn't declare that prematurely. I don't know yet. I still have to see the Chiefs shut down a team trying to run the ball at them for 60 minutes and get to that title game.
Yep.
But if it's the Ravens and it's in Charm City and it's a trip to South Beach on the line, I don't think he can do much better than that.
I really can't.
Who would win that game, first of all?
Well, I look schematically at what Kansas City's done recently, and I like what they're doing. Like they have good pieces up front to be able to stop the run physically, but Steve Spagnuolo has done some pretty interesting things from a coverage standpoint. So if you can creatively, because you have to, you got to make sure guys are at the line of scrimmage and you challenge Lamar to make throws down the field. But if you have him make too many of those, he's going to make them, and then he's going to put 21 points on you like he did the Browns in like a span of 5 minutes. He'll make some big plays. But I think that they have enough on the defensive side to hang with those guys. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick is like, and I've said this before, but and I know he's the MVP of the league, but he's doing things from the quarterback position that we've never seen before. Like, and I've watched quarterback play from Dan Marino, Elway, all the way back through when I was playing to guys that are playing now. We say Aaron Rodgers is on this top 100 all-time team. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is blowing him out of the water based on what I've seen on film, what I've seen in live action. Like, Pat Mahomes is is it. He's the future of the quarterback position. That guy is incredible.
I agree with that assessment. I also would take the Ravens in this game if we get to that game.
It would be an interesting matchup schematically.
It is weird, though, and it is one of the more enduring trends of the 21st truths of the 21st century that we've talked about with a whole bunch of players, including you, over the last few years, which is that offenses have the advantage in the first half of the year, but the defenses were ahead of schedule this year. But it really is something that the Chiefs are a good example of that like concrete, a lot of defenses take a while to solidify.
Yeah.
And why were the Chiefs just junk for most of the season defensively, but now they're semi-formidable?
Spagnuolo does a lot. He has a lot of different ways to attack you on the defensive side, but he's starting to figure out what they do best, and he's putting together a nice little pattern. Honey Badger's back there making a lot of
plays. Getting to know what he has.
I think it's more him getting to know what he has, and
I think Honey
really
Badger
good.
Has made the biggest difference.
I agree. I told someone the other day, I was like, he's the MVP, defensive MVP. And they're like, oh, no, it's got to be so.
Really? Wow.
Like, just based on what I see on film, he does so many things where he'll show a certain coverage, and he's like Spagnuolo's like wild card. Like, there was a play against Derek. They actually had a vertical route, and it was supposed to take him in coverage down the field. And he saw Darren Waller peeling off to the sideline at 15 yards, and he totally broke off and read the route concept and intercepted the ball on the sideline. And I asked Derek after the game, I'm like, what do you do there? He's like, I don't know. I had to throw it when Waller broke, and no one was there, and then he just made a great play and picked it off, and he does that a lot. He makes a lot of plays like that.
Oh, that's cool. Also cool for Derek that you watched that game.
Actually, I saw it on TV. So it's great.
There
HD,
you go.
Saw the replays, all the different angles.
So let's go a little fast action here because I don't want to hold you guys up. Handsome, I start with you. First thing, is there a team in the NFC that could beat either one of those teams? If you get Chiefs and Ravens, whoever wins that game, is there any NFC team that you see right now with one regular season week to go that, everybody have a puncher's chance?
I think the Niners do, and I think that the Vikings could do.
Really?
I love the Vikings defense, and I think that on their best day, if Kirk Cousins is playing well, if Dalvin Cook's healthy, I mean, a lot of ifs, but that's a team that I could see kind of get hot in the postseason.
That'd be neat for the 100 in the 100th year to see the Chiefs and Vikes get it on.
That would be good, actually. I completely agree with the Vikings. I think the Vikings are great.
I mean, we're talking on Monday morning. Probably this evening will be made to look like a fool by the Packers, but that's a team that I still can't, like, just get away from, even though they're not one of the leading teams in the NFC.
Carr, your answer, Vikings, you say?
And a little bit of Saints.
Saints.
Yeah, I think that I think still there's with Bosa and what I've seen from quarterbacks that can move a little bit, that kind of gives them some trouble. Mm-hmm. Even Goff was able to kind of get out of the pocket on some of those bootlegs and stuff, and it almost like Bosa was just full speed. They kind of used their aggressiveness against them, and I think Lamar would chop those guys up pretty good. So I think the Saints are disciplined and good enough on defense to where they can hang with them. And so either them or Minnesota.
It's interesting. The decade starts with Drew Brees vanquishing Peyton Manning. If you get a decade later, Drew Brees back in the Super Bowl against a young gun.
Oh, wow.
Or, for that matter, Tom Brady. That would be satisfying. Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes. The two best arms pro football has ever seen, probably.
Yep.
A lot of juicy stuff still awaits us. A couple more very quickly.
Okay.
You mentioned defensive player of the year. My vote goes to TJ Watt. I'm being as objective as I can.
I love his ability to punch the football.
That's it. I mean, that's so the difference. It's not the sack total.
It's
obviously,
impressive.
He's not anywhere close to winning that, but it's that. It's
talk to defensive guys and ask them how hard that is. Like, just to actually hand-eye coordination-wise, to punch a guy running full speed, they say it's nearly impossible, and he does it consistently.
And right, the Pina Tillman effect, and it is the league over, but he has kind of mastered it on a level that only Pina Tillman had previously. And the thing about that is, it's not one of those things that's like, well, he was punching at the ball, but I covered it up, so we're good. You got the whole game, you got to be lucid about where you're positioned in the ball. And once that catches on, with Minka Fitzpatrick doing the same kind of thing, and Devin Bush does that.
I love defenses that do that. Now, I don't like to play against them, but I love defenses that think ball out, get the ball.
Yeah, TJ Watt caught Yeah, he definitely got a ball on Sam Darnold.
Darnold, he got it's a little aggressive, but you know,
multiple even.
You sometimes see teams do that at the expense of tackling, which is also not a good thing.
You do see that a lot,
Yes, when it goes
like,
through,
okay, these guys we're all punching the ball out, and it's like, well, the guy just ran through four people trying to punch
that's
the ball.
It's a great run.
It is the equivalent of trying to foul one off so you don't get the third strike. You look ridiculous if you miss it. Like, what? That
happened?
You're a professional athlete. Handsome, your vote for defensive player.
I think Nick Bosa is a good choice. Stephon Gilmore's been great all season. I mean, like, all consistently good all season.
It's unfair to DBs because if they get had once, John Brown got him. So it's like, well, see, he got smoked. He can't be defensive player of the year.
It's a little bit like a good offensive lineman. You don't hear about them if then they just don't throw in that direction.
I agree.
Offensive player of the year. I think this is a historic one. I think it's Christian McCaffrey or Michael Thomas, both history makers.
Lamar Jackson's not involved in this discussion.
That's different. That's most valuable player.
Okay, I don't understand. Okay. I never understand. Like, why have two things?
Because there is a distinction
to be drawn
there. Why can't
they win both?
Well, he's the offensive player of the year as well.
Lamar Jackson?
Sure.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas isn't going to get anything for breaking the...
He gets a handshake and a pat on the back and like, dude, you did well.
He also did it with Teddy Bridgewater.
What
do you mean?
Sean Payton was still coaching, though. I mean, so he's just like...
I don't mean
John Harbaugh's feelings. What about me? I didn't have a...
No, I mean...
I just don't understand why an MVP wouldn't also be the offensive player.
Because they're different. Who's the most valuable to his team versus
Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's the most valuable.
Well, that's the guy I wanted to finish up with here.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is undoubtedly the most valuable player in the NFL this year.
But not the best offensive player. No way.
You see the difference. I genuinely don't, actually.
And
because Christian McCaffrey can win offensive player of the year. He's not the most valuable on a team that's not going to the playoffs. You can't. I think
that most valuable is relative. I think it's just like he's most valuable to their team, but maybe not most valuable to the league. That might be a little different.
I don't get it.
Maybe.
I'll play along.
Miles Garrett's the most valuable to the league. Remember what he did? He was called something on the field, but he bit his tongue because it would be a bad look for the league. Oh, come on with that ridiculous story. But anyway, Russell Wilson, you bring him up.
I do.
And I was talking with some guys on the stage earlier this morning. And it was striking to me that I said, well, the Eagles, if things break right now, all of a sudden, as long as the Niners beat the Seahawks, now the Eagles, who we've been joking about, unless they lose to the Giants and the Cowboys get in either way, that NFC East punchline team is probably going to get to the divisional round, given all the injuries all of a sudden to the Seahawks. And I said, right? And they said, well, no, the Seahawks will still win that game.
Yeah, they'll still win it.
Why? Russell Wilson. I said, it doesn't matter who's out there, Russell Wilson. No. Who can you rightly say that about outside of Patrick Mahomes and Russell? You wouldn't say that about any other guy in the NFL, right?
Even when you said earlier on that, you know, the 49ers are going to play them in week 17 and they're going to be without. I was like, wait, you're assuming that they're going to lose that game?
Russell Wilson can win you that game.
Yeah. That's the bottom line. I don't think we have appreciated Russell Wilson enough.
No.
I mean, what's it been now? 8 years for him? It seems like he's been around forever. And there's still some people, as of Sunday week 16, 2019, that Jeff Schwartz, whose jersey hangs on the digital wall of fame, David Carr's jersey's got to hang on.
No, let's get it up.
It's ridiculous already.
Sean O'Hara.
Either way. Well, I mean,
Sean's great.
Yeah,
Sean took a punch for me, actually. I was playing in New York against the Raiders, and he got in a verbal altercation with a Raider and took two shots to the face and a 15-yard penalty.
Really?
It was great. Sean's great. He belongs up there. Belongs up there. I can't remember who the defender
was. What did you do, though? Did you get in there?
I was talking a little crazy. We were up.
But I mean, did you get in there?
I was like, saying
something. Hey, you're going to hit anybody. Come at me.
No, I definitely didn't do that. Because as we've learned, when the offensive lineman and defensive lineman are fighting, the quarterback is no longer needed.
Oh, especially with somebody like you.
Yeah,
with
you
the
don't
money
want
maker.
That face.
By the way, is either or both of you willing to fly to Charm City on Sunday? The Steelers might need you to go under center.
I don't know.
You might be a better option than that. Would you do it, Handsome?
Yeah.
First Englishman under center in NFL history.
I would relegate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. He's done it before.
Yeah.
What would happen? That's a good question. Now with this Marshawn Lynch at the time of this recording, he's not signed or anything.
Great.
What would happen if you had to go in and play for the Steelers this weekend?
Remember when...
If they signed you today.
Yeah.
David Carr hasn't played in, 4 years?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, what matters?
Well,
Kurt Warner
matter.
Once told me, I asked Kurt Warner 2 years ago,
yeah,
randomly, I said, hey, Kurt, what do you? How, where would you rank among the starting NFL QBs if you returned right now and you had like 6 weeks to get ready for to go?
Six weeks.
6 weeks is a different.
Or 6 days.
Well, I'm saying okay, Kurt Warner, if you had some time to condition and get right and ready to go and playbook and all that stuff, where would you be? You'd be like 15th. That's what...
I love his confidence. I love that.
What would you be better...
Love that.
Could you be better
than
Duck Hodges right now?
I don't want
not
to take
right
a
now,
shot.
On Sunday.
I don't want to take it. On Sunday.
On Sunday, not today.
Knowing that I would not, I would have to remove the headset now, immediately go prepare.
Yes. Right. You're on a plane. Yeah. Or you're on the next flight to Pittsburgh.
I don't want to take shots at Duck, though.
It's not a shot at him.
It's
He's a free agent rookie. You're a savvy vet with a big arm.
Only because I've been around the game longer. Yes, I could be better. I'd do the same things he's doing. He's giving guys shots down the field, throwing it up to Juju and James Washington to make a play. Sure, I'll do the same thing.
Do you think that that's true? Because if that's true, then why wouldn't the Steelers call you right now and call anybody?
It's just a weird thing about the NFL. When you've been out for more than a year, that's it. Unless you're Marshawn Lynch and you're in Seattle. But after that year, you just removed from the books. Like, no one even cares. Like, I don't even know why some of these guys are even working out.
What if you made a call today and be like, hey,
listen, guys.
By the way, you're probably not thinking about me, but I would do it for one game. But you need to fly me there now.
They would say, do analysis on the sideline? That's probably what they would say. I mean,
this nonsense about
call,
Paxton
though.
Lynch is going to do it. That's not a good idea.
No, it's
either.
Not a good idea. I agree. I would for the, because of my affinity now for the Steelers, because of being on your show and knowing you, I would do it for you for free.
Is that
and
true?
Then I would go play for free for this game.
If that happened and it all worked out, how soon would Derek call you and say, what the hell?
Oh, instantly.
My chance of getting in the playoffs,
and you're going to
go play for the Steelers.
And now you've uncovered why I would go.
Would do it. That's
you've
your
uncovered
motivation.
Mama why
Carr
I would go.
All of a sudden with one of those split jerseys.
Right. No. There would be no split jerseys. It's either or.
Hey, listen, but it's blood is thicker than water. And team apparel. And so what I would do is the reason for me going to Pittsburgh
is to lose the game.
Lose the football game and the Raiders
remind everybody under the car roof who's
right.
boss.
Right. Well, that too. Yeah, it would be hard.
Maybe
it'd be difficult.
Can
you imagine if I went in there and won the game and they're out of the playoffs?
And then you're like,
I mean, a quarterback is.
So imagine the Christmas?
I mean,
New Year's?
Pun aside, it is a more passive position than running back. I mean, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
What's the likelihood that Marshawn Lynch is in game shape right now?
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. I'd think they're crazy.
Make a prediction that you'll either be embarrassed by or validated by within the next 12 hours, I would think. Is Marshawn Lynch going to be on the Seahawks?
I think that he'll be on the Seahawks.
Really?
I don't think that he should be on the Seahawks. I don't know what the thinking.
You can't. You couldn't give him 15 carries or anything, right?
I don't even know why. I can't. I can't figure out a reason why you'd want to do it.
Boy, I mean, talk about
just to get the 12th man fired up.
Time to lose Penny a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Then Carson and even ProSize, who's
ProSize,
fine.
Exactly.
CJ ProSize is fine if you have to roll with that.
Yeah. I mean, desperate. They're desperate. It's tough.
I'd call Kristen Michael first.
I mean, C.J. Anderson's probably in about as good a shape as Marshawn, too, though. So what are you going to do? I mean,
that's going to end up being the answer,
you think
right?
So?
C.J. Anderson?
I don't know. Maybe. They're probably on the same level. It's probably what – I bet that conversation was had, and Pete Carroll was like, well, if we're going to get C.J., why don't we just get Marshawn?
And then they're like, okay. Pete says we have to get Marshawn.
Let's call him. See what happens.
Poor Alfred Morris. Where's his name in
Where's
a situation
Alfred Morris?
Like this? Yeah. Oh, I could go on and on, but we'll cut it off there because David Carr and Handsome Hank. Boy, I'll tell you this much. We're back in shape in terms of this being among the most handsome shows.
I would think so.
In all of podcasting, nay, in all of entertainment. Ooh. Thanks to David Carr and Handsome Hank. And they may.
And you, Dave.
Yeah, of course.
I'm nice looking. Yeah. I mean, I'm well. I found some pictures of myself like 25 years
That's
ago.
Hard, though. You go back in time, it's a different era. You know, you look different. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
No. See, you're at an age now where you're like, well, my face has matured a little bit, but I might make a case without the baby fat. I'm more handsome now. I'm way past that.
Oh.
Now it's like, no. Dave, don't make any mistakes. All the rest of the world sees when they look at you is an old person.
All right.
That's all anybody sees.
Don't tell yourself that.
I don't have to. Other people.
Oh, no one says that to you.
Yeah, they do. They
really?
Do it with their eyes. They do it with the glazed kind of look like...
like
which old person are you right
almost
now?
Concerned. Do you need help crossing the street? Can I order for you? Can I pick up the tab?
The Steelers are definitely not going to let me play quarterback this weekend.
But you'd be a lefty, and they would be. They wouldn't know what to do.
I just want to put it out there because I'd kick myself if I didn't just let it be known. Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin.
You're available.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh, I'd love it.
Because I'm a gamer, and I'll show up.
I'd relegate both my opportunity for Hank and you to watch that happen. I would actually go to that game.
Would you?
Yeah, I would go to that one.
For at least a half. For at least 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He'd meet you at the team hotel before.
See what happens.
Excellent.
High five you on the way out.
Oh, Ricky just started. I was going to ask Rick how she liked the show.
Oh, I thought you were pointing at me to go.
No, I was just saying hello. I was going to wrap it up.
Oh, well.
All right, that's fine. Have a happy Christmas.
You too, you guys. This was great.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you so much, Rick. And a quick scheduling alert for everybody out there. I think it'll be a fun Wednesday show for us.
Oh, we're coming in on Christmas Day, aren't we?
Yes. Me and Handsome are going to do, people love the NFL and the what if stuff.
That's
and we've got
stuff.
Something really cool coming up on that with Brian Baldinger and Daniel Jeremiah and Cynthia Freeland and Steve Weish and beyond.
How you keep that all straight in your head is just mind blowing to me.
Well, we'll do all that. I know, and I do it all off the top of my head.
It's
I just do it in real time. So we have that coming up later in the month of January for you. But before that, me and Handsome, we're going to chop up some current ones.
Yeah, Sean just make Watson, some up as we go along.
That's like right. That.
What else?
Patrick Mahomes will come up, I'm sure.
Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Yeah, yeah. If you watch Sunday Night Football, they talked about that for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, they didn't have anything else to talk about.
Yeah,
that's true.
Do you know that the Bears could have taken Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes instead of this guy? That's what they thought.
But he's still doing great. If he had the weapons, if he had the weapons that Patrick Mahomes had, he'd be great too.
The best was when they were like, this is a really interesting story. You know what? Let's create some B-roll about how similar Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky actually are throwing the ball, and then America will realize that we've been wrong all along. Did you see that?
I did see that. I wasn't convinced by it.
I think we could take 30 other quarterbacks and create similar situations where they've all thrown the same kind of a pass.
Also, here's how they're different. That's the school box.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. How many times can you do that without it getting intercepted otherwise? Yeah, those are the key details. Anyway, what a pleasure to get to sit with the great Handsome Hank and David Carr for this one and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Thank you all so much for doing it. Now you can play the music, Rick.
All right, here we go.
Our last show before the Christmas holiday, or if you're listening after, so be it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Holiday spirit in full display.
Yeah, full display.
David getting in the way of Derek. Derek getting in David's way. Mama Carr having to make sense of all of it.
As she does.
At the foot of the Christmas tree. What message are you boys sending your children? We'll be back in a couple days. Thin Slice of Heaven.